You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. Coming up next on Thursday, December 21st, 2017, it's Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. A special guest, Anthony Prince, a phone interview on struggles in the homeless movement from both an activist and an attorney, which is kind of a rare combination. So don't go away.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So it's a sort of a makeshift hodgepodge we've got today on Free Radio. I'm going to begin with an article from the Berkeley Daily Planet on a vote that the Berkeley City Council took back in September, essentially authorizing more expansive use of pepper spray, which I wish I had more information on about in Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz Police Department is authorized to use pepper spray, but I'm not specific as to the times they've used it in the past. We don't get those details. We should, of course. We should have an oversight body that looks at that, or it should be simply transparent information that any citizen can have access to. That would be even better. But let's look at these Berkeley concerns by citizens up there, where there is a somewhat weak but stronger than ours ever was police review commission that is still operational in Berkeley. So here's an article by Dr. James McFadden. I don't know who he is, really, except I'm interested in the subject he's writing about on the Berkeley Daily Planet website. It's called Pepper Spray, an Open Letter to Berkeley City Council. Dear Mayor and City Council, and of course the important thing is not so much that this is a letter sent to the mayor and city council, is that the community itself gets to hear the letter, because I don't think Mayor Arguin and a city council are going to pay much attention to it, but if I learn differently, I'll let you know. As you proceed down the path of giving the Berkeley police, McFadden writes, whatever tools of violence they demand, don't forget to consider police impunity and abuse of these pain compliance means of torture. The BPD, Berkeley Police Department, has failed to acknowledge their role in the death of Kayla Moore and for their violence against respected members of the community during the Black Lives Matter protests, and have failed to even acknowledge racial profiling as documented in the CPE report. Now, Kayla Moore was a black woman, a transgender woman, and also, I guess, someone who some designated as mentally ill, who was killed in police custody by Berkeley police way back in 2013. And there is a number of stories on the Berkeley Side website talking about and actually denouncing the Berkeley police for this behavior, although the lawsuit was largely tossed against the police by a judge, which may or may not mean something. And let me go on, though, with the pepper spray situation. This apparently is still a sore point for folks in Berkeley who remember that case. As the Sean Arlt case here in Santa Cruz, should be a sore point for us to demand why don't we have transparency in how these murders are later looked at. You don't call it a murder, you want to call it a slaying by the police. Sean Arnold, of course, was killed a year ago by police, and there's only one small video that was released. The police reports were never released around the actual specific reports or any video by the individual officers other than the one from the police car, if there was additional video. However, McFadden's letter continues. The BPD has failed to acknowledge their role in the death of Kayla Moore and for their violence against respected members of the community during the Black Lives Matter protests, and have failed to even acknowledge racial profiling as documented in the CPE report, whatever that was. Last night, you once again caved the demands for additional police weapons by authorizing pepper spray use in crowds. Thank you, Cheryl, Kate, Chris, for voting against pepper spray. Those are three Berkeley council members. I suppose the next police demand will be for tasers when their tactics again fail and they blame the council for not giving them enough tools of violence. Please watch the video embedded in this Reuters article regarding tasers. This is about police and prison guard impunity to get away with torture. Pain compliance is just a fancy name for torture. And then there's a link for those who want to actually look at the video. Go to the Berkeley Daily Planet website and look at the Daily Planet story for December 17th. And for those of you who think pepper spray is just another tool, that it is not torture, please view this video of children exposed to pepper spray. And there's another link. As J.P. Masser eloquently points out, it is the collateral damage that is the problem. Innocent, nonviolent protesters will be the ones who will get sprayed and react in excruciating pain like these children. And as Kelly Hammerschrin mentioned, if the victims are older or have health problems, pepper spray could result in death. Death that will point back to your votes last night. McFadden, of course, is talking to the council majority that voted to authorize broader use of police use of pepper spray in crowds, which I think had previously been barred by policy unless there's some sort of specific physical danger involved. If the BPD escalates their use of pain compliance on protesters and begins an arms race, those who challenge police in order to incite police violence will not be harmed. As JP pointed out, they will be the agile youth who will know when to move and will have gas masks for protection. It will be the nonviolent public, the innocent bystanders, who will suffer. I know it is difficult to admit when you are wrong, especially in public, with TV cameras running. I could see the anger in Jesse Arguin, that's the mayor, for having to face a vote blaming the Police Review Commission for having the audacity to actually question the logic of the pepper spray vote last November. That's the vote that authorized the use of pepper spray, for which Mayor Arguin voted yes. But as Kate, the one who voted against it, rightly pointed out, the council voted in haste and fear, a shock doctrine vote for pepper spray. Alas, it is difficult to admit a mistake, so instead last night one could hear the clownish excuses from Drost about how the pepper spray can was not that big, as if that mattered. You could hear the police chief dodge Bartlett's questions about under what circumstances he would have used pepper spray during the last year, and you could see council members falling over each other to praise the police as that provided them a weapon that will likely increase the risk of violence to both the police and the public. It was a sad vote that had more to do with saving face than reducing violence in our community. I hope this path of police militarization does not continue. Now, don't count on it. As you face the votes on Urban Shield and NCRIC next year. And those are issues that actually have also been written about. Urban Shield is a kind of a national police-ish organization. I think it's a weapons fair where people get together from law enforcement agencies and show off their guns, their tools. They probably don't show their dicks off, but that's what it makes me think about. So I'll really ask the question, what's happening in Santa Cruz with pepper spray? And it's not something I've researched or sent emails to the police department about in a while. In fact, I really have a long overdue email that should be sent to Andy Mills, asking the kind of questions I asked of former Chief Police Chief Kevin Vogel back in, a couple years back during the Black Lives Matter protests, when HUF, the organization I work with, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, was out there in front of the police station demanding to have more police transparency and accountability, and denouncing racial and class profiling, that is to say, targeting people of a particular race or income look, homeless people, in other words. But I haven't gotten back to Andy Mills on that, and if somebody wants to encourage me to do that, it'll be more likely that I would. And if you have any comments on this show or words of encouragement or offers of assistance in terms of forwarding these kinds of emails, writing them, shouldering some of the burden, give me a call at 831-423-4833. Again, 831-423-4833. And while I'm at it, here's the mandatory announcement I make, and I hope I will not have to keep making, but probably will, that Free Radio continues to look for a studio space, continues to be offering to pay for it, $500 if you find us a space for a year. We'll also, of course, pay rent. We're looking for a 10 by 10 space, which has got access to electricity, internet, bathrooms. Waterbed is optional. Just leave me a message at 423-4833 if you have information. I'm one of the collective. If you want to become a part of the collective, that's another place you can leave me a message at the same number, and or you can go online to the website freakradio.org, which is where you may be listening to this actually, and you can get more information about Free Radio and get an application to download. You can see the schedules recently updated, I understand, of Free Radio, and learn more. If you're looking for old shows from the Bathrobespierre's Broadsides archives, that's the name of this show, Bathrobespierre's Broadsides. I sometimes style myself as Bathrobespierre Robert. You can go to the HUF website, hufsantacruz.org. Unfortunately, we're having problems with downloads. You can't really go to latest shows and catch anything past mid-November. Go instead to lost shows, and you'll be able to hear old shows, this show included. The new issue of Street Spirit, it's actually not that new, it's a couple weeks old, but I have it, so it's new to me, can now be picked up. You can't probably find it at the Sub Rosa Cafe, where it's usually sitting in a stack on Pacific Avenue. That's where HUF meets every other Wednesday, and our next meeting is going to be December 27th. That's it, December 27th, day after Christmas. But you can get it from me if you want to give me a call at 423-4833, and you can probably find it in the library. I'm hoping to put it there shortly, assuming I get my butt down there. And you can also pick it up from me if you see me around town, those of you who know who I am. And those of you who don't, feel free to call, and I'll try to find a way to get a copy of Street Spirit. You probably can find it also relatively easily, I think they're still doing this, online at the website thestreetspirit.org. The current issue is got a long history of the blues by Street Spirit editor Terry Messman. So read it and tap your foot and whip out your trombone. Now usually when I play flashbacks, I do a whole show or a very large segment. Today I'm going to play just some small bits, maybe just one small bit. This is from 2001, an interview with, I guess it was a pastor or a caretaker, an official who was involved with the Calvary Episcopal Church, the Red Church at Lincoln and Cedar, where in the last few years I've gone every Monday evening to get interviews with folks. Apologize for not being down there last Monday. It would have been interesting to do that. Maybe I'll make it next Monday. We'll see. But it kind of illustrates the difference in tone in the city between then and now, in terms of even people in official positions. Although the Red Church, as we call the Calvary Episcopal, has taken more responsibility at least a couple of days a week for either providing meals or hosting those who do. I'm not sure if they're still hosting the Thursday meal. I think they may be. It's been a while since I've heard news about that meal. But this really concerns the, I guess, somewhat more laissez-faire attitude that authorities had toward people congregating on the lawn, which happened particularly on Wednesdays when the farmers market, the downtown farmers market, which is now threatened with removal and dispersal. I guess they're talking about some sheltered farmers market on the other side of Pacific Avenue, and then they're going to replace the area with this cockamamie library in the basement or the ground floor and layers of parking garage that some of these development-crazy city council members and staff folks are pushing for. Anyway, let's go back to 2001 and consider this flashback and compare it with how times are now.
Okay, it is October 3rd, 2001, at the Farmers Market, about 15 to 5. The Earth Firsters have graciously given me the opportunity to park next to their table, and I'm circulating a petition a bit. It's overcast today, unlike the other few days. And you, sir, you're holding this petition for a friendly farmers market. What is your name?
My name is Albert Alonzo.
And you, are you planning to sign this petition? What do you think?
I already did sign it. I have no hesitations. I know what's up. I don't need to read anymore. I've been here for 7 years.
And let me clarify. This actually, this audio begins across the street from the Red Church at a table. I think it was on the sidewalk in those days, or right very near the entrance to the farmer's market. Nowadays, they've gotten much more regulated and controlled at the farmer's market, and it can be difficult setting up, particularly if you want to sell your jewelry. They will have they have had a shit fit in different different occasions I've seen when independent jewelers come and try and do that. Plus, of course, the new anti-vendor laws have made it a crime to be within a block of Pacific Avenue vending at all. But in those days, that wasn't the case. And let's hear some more. There was a controversy arising because of the issue of the drum circle, which was located right next to the farmers market in those days every Wednesday, until it was driven away first by the police, and then when that failed because the community responded and kept coming back, the farmers market itself simply commercialized the entire area. And where the drum circle was, Monthry Srinath's store, I should say, a tent or a couple of tables and a vending area from his store that shows up on Wednesday showed up there. He's the Lulu Carpenter's owner. In any case, this is before those days. And in those days, there was a woman named Janet Blazer, who also, I believe, worked for the Sentinel, but who was on the board of directors. I think she was the executive director or the enforcement person of the farmers market. She was upset that I was giving out flyers in the farmers market, concerned with her and other, well, mostly it was her, attempt to drive away the drum circle. And this was right after the September 11th chickens coming home to roost bombing of the Twin Towers that essentially laid the grounds for the intensified police state in the U.S., and I would suspect to some extent also here in Santa Cruz. So let's hear some of what went down. I was, I think, tabling with a petition for a friendly farmers market and getting various people's reactions.
And what do you think about the absence of drumming? I guess there may be a little bit of drumming in the very distant background, but I see a few guitar strummers, and I heard from the Earth Firsters at the table there that there's only been one drum all afternoon. How long have you been here?
I've been here for 15 minutes.
Have you heard much in the way of drumming? Or?
No, I haven't heard any drumming at all. They're starting up to right now, actually. They're attempting to, like, you know, try it, make some music and make people happy, because that's what it's all about. I don't know. What else to say?
You wish the drumming were back?
Yeah, I really miss the drumming, because the drumming represents a lot about culturistic people, and this town is really built on culturistic people, you know, and it's like, and it's just a good thing. It's a good energy, you know, and stuff.
I did, and you are?
Brianna.
And Brianna, what's happening? Where's the drumming?
I don't know. Where the,
Where's my
it?
Hug?
Oh, it's right here.
Oh. Mm. Got you on the ear.
Yep.
So here. Now, you are wearing this fine T-shirt, and your name is?
Kathy.
It's an excellent tie-dye with a gem in the middle of it and little feathers here and there. And you're smoking tobacco, of course, which is
American
a no-no.
American spirit.
American spirit, right.
No additives,
no nicotinic chemies. Spirit.
That's right.
Yeah. So but you have this petition. Now, you have a flyer. You've read this flyer, Give Peace a Chance. Is this some sort of foolish propaganda? What do you think?
Not at all. We want the drum circle back at the farmer's market.
And what,
I'm not
what,
real good at talking to you.
You're doing fine. It's actually, there's only about a very small scattering of people. It looks like the folks have largely been scattered by the threats of arrest, the citations, the police presence of the last few weeks.
I would say so. Certainly puts a damper on what used to be a festive time.
And you must also remember, those of you who are long in the memory and long in the tooth, that this was about 5 years before the Coonerty parking lot panic law, as I call it, the law that makes it illegal to socialize in a parking lot. Now it's, of course, a crime unless you are walking directly through a parking lot or you're parking or retrieving a vehicle. Then you're allowed in the parking lots. Now, this law is widely ignored in many cases, but it's there as a tool for police to selectively use whenever they want. However, in 2001, the Farmers Market Drum Circle, which was held in the parking lot in really what is now, about a fourth of the way into the parking lot, it's kind of hard to describe, but it's, gosh, would I say 50 to 100 feet into the parking lot from the Cedar Street, going in both from Cedar Street and Cathcart. You would find the drum circle if you walked at the end of what is now the first parking lot area there. And it was legal to be there, but apparently folks were driven away from that area by pressure from the farmers market executive folk, specifically Janet Blazer and the police. So that's some of the background. Let's hear some more.
It's also a bit overcast today. That may have something to do with the lower turnout. And not quite raining, but dripping. And what have you got here, madam?
Wheatgrass.
She has wheatgrass. We're here with the vicious Brian D. Koepke of the Food Not Bombs. What kind of food do you have, and where are the bombs?
Well, we already had the organic vegetable soup, and so now we're down to the bread, the apples, and the cheese that spreads.
Mm-hmm. And have there been any comments on the food, interference from the police, commendations by the local merchants?
You know, we had a great time last week because the parking lot was closed off. And today we're having a really good time, too, because none of the police came around. And people, comments were things like, this is organic, right? And people were mostly really glad that we showed up.
Thank you, Brian. And if folks want to help Food Not Bombs, how can they be of assistance?
Well, we cook on the Cesar Chavez Housing Co-op porch Wednesday and Saturday afternoon, and you can call us at 515-4480, extension 6654.
And that, of course, would have been Food Not Bombs in 2001. Now, if you want to reach the current Food Not Bombs, it serves every weekend, Saturdays and Sundays, 4 to 6, outside the main post office at a notorious location, since fenced off by, I don't know whether it's the federal authorities, the state authorities, or I should say the city authorities. I'm not sure who did it, but the Food Not Bombs still serves there. If you want to help Food Not Bombs, look at the Facebook Food Not Bombs, Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs page, and you'll find out how you can help them out.
Grab your pencil. And if you don't get that, give a call to 423-HUFF and we'll give you the number again. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Robert.
We're talking to a trespasser on the lawn of the Calvary Episcopal Church. Your name, Mr. Trespasser?
And this, of course, is what I introduced initially, and really which kind of drew my attention to this bit of audio. Let's see how far it goes.
Owl. But the thing is that his thing was, is he was worried that...
Now,
he's
whose thing?
Guy who was the chief of the committee at the church, according to his own word.
And what did he tell you?
He told me that he was fearing the police, that the police were, like, threatening him.
Because...
And that's why he couldn't have people on his lawn.
Oh, so he told you to move from the lawn.
Right, he told everybody to move because he said he was being threatened by the police.
Really? And did he get more specific which police officers, which guns, or dates, names, and so forth?
No, but he didn't tell me, actually. He told these other kids who were just sitting there. He said, you guys have to move because the police... They asked why, and he said, because he's under the gun from the police. They're going to give him a ticket or something like that if he doesn't move people off the lawn.
Really? Maybe we should walk over and interview this man. You want to point him out to me?
Or? Yeah, sure.
And interestingly enough, this was in 2001. Some years before, in 1988... The same Calvary Episcopal Church had a policy of allowing people to sleep on its lawn at night when the sleeping ban was being enforced throughout the town in different spots, depending upon the police preferences of then Police Chief Jack Bassett or his underlings. But in this situation, and I don't know if it's the same David Jones, it may be, because the man who we talked to across the street, you'll hear in a moment, or talked to at that time, is named Jones. There was another pastor or worker there named Jones who would warn people when the police were coming, because he could see their squad cars, and he would let them come into the church as for kind of a kind of sanctuary. And then when they left, I'm not sure if he let them out again or they stayed the night. But on the third night that this happened, I was told the police banged on the door of the church and demanded that the homeless come out and warned the Jones fellow, if it was the same Jones or not, again, I don't know, that they would ticket him for violating the sleeping ban, because indeed it is illegal under the technical wording of the sleeping ban and is still illegal under that wording to fall asleep after 11 o'clock at night in, on, or under any structure not intended for human habitation. That is to say, not a domicile. And only motels, hotels, and houses which are domiciles are domiciles. Office buildings, movie theaters, restaurants, churches are not considered domiciles. They're of a different kind of legal definition. Or that's how it was explained to me, I believe, by former attorney Ray Glock Grunig, Grinning Ray, as I used to call him. Continuing again with this conversation across the street where I think Owl mentioned it to me, and I went over and began to either listen to or interview this other Jones, or possibly the same Jones person, in 2001.
Let's go across the street and see what he has to say. Well, how long have you been here, Al? This is sort of certainly less congested. I suppose the farmers market management will be all excited about this. Tam O'Shanter.
He's sitting in that chair.
Sitting in this blue chair where the parking lot is sort of the guard, the guide.
He was protecting the church from the police authority, according to his own word. He was keeping people from trespassing because the police had threatened him. That's what he said.
He was protecting you by removing you. A novel approach.
Yeah, I mean that's. I could really feel his pain.
Okay, I can accept that. Uh-oh, it's the vicious goddess of the medical M. Your name, madam?
It's been a hard day.
What have you been up to? What's cooking on the goddess scene, Theodore?
I'm not a goddess.
You mean the rumors aren't true?
No.
But you look so good these days.
It's hard having one of these pointed in your face.
Anything new locally about medical marijuana or... The war against drugs you want to comment on?
What is it?
I know camp every year is
new outfit.
Major.
With the visor on.
Okay. Thanks, Al.
When the camp grant came up this year.
And this is Theodora Carey, who was actively been a campaigner against the drug war for decades. It looks like I don't know what happened to the discussion of the the church, so I will play a little bit more of this and hope it gets around to what went down there, and if not, maybe I'll be able to find it later, but bear with me in our historical venture here.
For the first time, Supervisor Almquist voted against it, which was good.
Which joined what, two votes,
Marty Wormhout and Almquist. Right. And Almquist asked for a report from the sheriff because he had some issues with the sheriff on how some of the deputies are handling medical marijuana cases.
Right.
So he wanted a full report from the sheriff on what's what the procedures are, what the protocols are, and
right.
what's going on. Yeah. So that report is coming back to the to the supervisors on Tuesday, October 23rd. So we encourage people to come and hear what the report says and comment.
Other counties have been successful in actually clamping down on camp, right? Like up in Mendocino? Or?
And I believe camp had to do with aerial surveillance of marijuana fields here in Santa Cruz.
Humboldt
camp is, you know.
I'm thinking of Hawaii.
I think there might be one place in Hawaii, and I think that was only temporary. It is an agenda of the government, the federal government.
We need drugs to fund the war against terrorism.
Well, we need the drugs to fund the terrorists, both inside and outside our government.
Well, I'll put it like you want. Thank you, Theodore.
Hi.
Hello.
Free
Radio Santa Cruz. And I'm concerned about the new policies that the church has. I'm wondering what the situation is. Al here says you woke him up.
But I'm not in any way malevolent or anything like that. That's
he's a nice
right.
guy.
He just interviewed me.
Hey Tony, how you doing?
I'd rather not interview in your microphone.
Should we do it off mic?
I don't mind. I don't mind conversing with you, but I don't like.
Okay, I'll give a summary after we're finished. Hang on a second.
I'm the member of a church here, and I was told, you know, that like I couldn't come on the property. I'm a confirmed Episcopalian,
that's right.
I was totally offended by your church. You know, I don't know who you are. Are you with this church?
Yes, I am. Okay.
Well, I'm really highly offended with your church.
Okay. Can you let us continue our conversation?
I was just going to say that you
seem to summarize what we're hearing.
The voice you hear, the offended Episcopalian, is that of Steve Sullivan, who he was known also as the Rat Man many, many years ago, because he used to have lots of little mice and other rodents about him in his, I guess, in his vehicle. He also played the flute, dressed up as a jester, was quite a photographer, and I think recently suffered eviction from the Sleep Tight Motel. Good luck, Steve, wherever you are.
David Folsom Jones speaking to Al. Point of concern Al had was he was awakened by David, who told him he was concerned about the police. Thank you, Al, for coming over. So David has told us that there is a concern about keeping traffic moving in a certain sense, where folks are allowed to, as we see right now, some folks lounging on the grass at the corner of, what is it, Cedar and Lincoln. But after about 5 or 10 minutes, David tends to move folks along and point out that he doesn't like large crowds to gather. I'm trying to accurately represent what you said.
And another 20 minutes or so, I might go back and just say, you know, would you consider moving along now?
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of this stemmed, you said, from a concern about a guy peeing on a vehicle during some of the kids' programs. That was one of the difficulties.
Every Wednesday afternoon, there would be that thing's on.
Oh, okay. I've asked the question. I'll give you the answer in a moment. So David has told me that the concern is that sometimes on Wednesdays, crowds of 100 to 150 people would gather, sometimes taking spaces that were needed for the different programs here. Sometimes the appearance of folks in crowds would intimidate some of the folks wanting to use the parking lot. And there was sometimes some congestion that interfered with the use of the parking lot. And David says he has no objection to any particular person. In fact, he feels that one of the reasons that he told Owl that unless he told people to move, the police would, in essence, get on his case, is because the police have said, with a no trespass letter on file from the church, they are requiring that he enforce even-handedly a policy of everybody has to move along after a certain period of time, or else they're telling him they won't enforce it against anyone. Am I properly stating that?
I think yes, and the primary goal of that is not to get out of hand crowds on the property, and to keep, you know, a certain flow. Let everyone use it, but not everyone congregating all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been in this job for, what, about 4 or 5 months? 2 or 3 months?
I started sitting out here in June.
Right, but you took over as from the prior pastor.
Oh, we're in an interim situation.
Ah, I see. So they're still looking for a pastor. I see. I thought, what a coincidence, John. Everybody else does, too.
Yes,
I'm sure.
I know. I used to get his mail.
Right, well, there you are. Folsom, I bet it made you feel after a while.
Right. Yeah. Spelled like prison, though.
Ah, well, let's see. It could be worse. Yeah. I don't know.
And I haven't told you anything that I haven't told everyone else.
But no, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I, of course, the perspective I hear is somewhat different from folks across the street. They say that, the reason the farmer's market has been cracking down on drummers and musicians is because of the relocation of their scene to some extent, and also perhaps the mentality of, it sounds like, you know, it sounds fairly mellow, but the effect is to remove the people who were using this area from an area that they used it on for, what, 3 or 4 hours a week, traditionally? I mean,
we have people on the property a lot during the week. It just got...
too large?
Very large on Wednesday afternoons. I used to think they were organic farmers. And like cowboys...
they had organs.
And cowboys on a cattle drive coming in and letting off steam, but that wasn't the case. So.
Well, maybe we could call in those cowboys. And, so, John... This is David, and this is Bernard.
Hello.
David is not a clergyman. He is a president of the board at the moment, equivalent thereof, and it's an interim position.
Right.
David puts it, he doesn't think that he is being overly authoritarian, but simply preserving access to his grounds and the programs. And indeed, while we've been talking, I see several couples sitting on the lawn. No one has arrested Bernard here yet, so...
no.
We can't immediately hold this man to that, but we'll be back to keep a close eye.
Oh, I'm sure you will. And as I say, I know you're a committed person about town.
Well, that's nicely put. Thank you, David.
I know.
All right. Hey, Tony Madrigal, newest member of the Citizens Police Rah-Rah Board. Give us the story, Tony. Have you accepted this post?
You don't.
And again, for all you old timers, this is. Assuming he talks to me, Police Review Board member Tony Madrigal, who later became a city council member for one term. Again, a man who may have had some interest. He was Latino. He was probably one of the few Spanish-speaking people on the board of the city council and on the Citizens Police Review Board, but he ended up being... fundamentally, in my view, a flop, both on the board, which he used as a stepping stone to city council, and on city council itself, where he was occasionally a dissident vote in favor of the rights of poorer people, but generally a pretty weak voice who disappointed many people. I don't know if he disappointed me, because I don't know if I ever expected too much of him. And... here's some more of this 2001 flashback.
Who I gotta be
You're
like
a public thing. Figure, Tony. What can I tell you? I'm a reporter.
Get the heck out of here, man. Are you serious?
Yeah. Are you a member of the Citizens Police Review Board now? These
not
days?
Yet. Not yet. I've been appointed. I haven't been sworn in.
Man, what I could swore at you rather than swore. Well, now we'll have a little off-tape conversation with Mr. Madrigal.
And I think we may want to leave it there. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. Here's a wee bit more from this farmer's market moment back in October of 2001.
So you're a vendor?
Yes.
And what do you vend?
We sell lots of things, apples, squash, pumpkins, tomatoes.
How's business?
Good.
And have you been doing this for a while?
Yes. It's a family business.
And how many years has the family been doing this?
Oh, over 15 years, ever since the market started.
And what does it think of the Santa Cruz market compared with others?
This one's always been very diverse, and we're diverse people, so, I mean, I enjoy...
diverse, not the worst.
No.
Okay.
No, we enjoy coming to the Santa Cruz market.
And you've expressed some concerns about the fact that, is it your experience that drummers, to some people say drummers and musicians contribute to the market because it sort of draws people. Others say, well,
it draws people that aren't customers, or maybe it frightens some more conservative customers. What's your perspective?
I'm a very liberal person. I don't mind the drumming myself, mm-hmm. but I think that it needs to be, you know, taken into consideration. No, it needs to be taken into consideration that there are people that are trying to drive and walk with little children, and sometimes having all these people, it gets out of hand. If you let one person do it, you can't say no to the second person, and then everybody wants to drum, and then it's not a market, it's a big drumming place. So I think these people could go to the beach where it's beautiful, or go to a park.
Why don't you go to the beach? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, what's wrong with going to the beach?
So one is like,
I understand that it's a marketplace, but buy your produce and go to the park where they have designated.
I'll tell you why, because the market does draw a lot of people that are into drumming. This is, there's no question about it.
Okay.
That is part of the reason that we're here.
Uh-huh.
But of course, it's not the only reason.
Yeah.
But
some of us to buy fruit from family business.
Yeah, I mean.
So we could say go to the beach, and then you get down there, and everyone just kind of fades away. And where do they go? They come back to the market. You know,
so it's just the energy is
it's
what I'm getting.
Place in the community,
yeah, really, it becomes like a communion.
Yeah.
It becomes a communion, and it's like one of the main regular Santa Cruz town things that I know of. That's just totally awesome.
It's
always,
cool.
You know.
Cool. But
who doesn't like fruit and flowers? You know.
Well, who's not?
Thank you, Bernard. I appreciate the help.
It's all right.
What's that?
Well, I'm just wondering. I mean, 6 months ago, what was the problem? Nobody got injured. Nobody got hurt.
I think they said over time it got larger and larger and larger. There's more people, and there's no room. I mean, there's nowhere for these people to be doing this kind of thing. Unfortunately, it's like we just want to sell our freaking produce, and you know. Get out, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, hi. Marissa.
Thank you.
Robert, you can't do this inside the market.
No, you can't.
You can distribute information.
This is Janet Blazer talking to me and telling me that I cannot give out flyers inside the market.
It's against your First Amendment right not to do that. 5 minutes to leave.
It is 5:35. So Janet Blazer has just threatened me with something if I don't leave.
Minutes.
Right.
Who's taking the pictures?
What pictures?
The video camera guy.
He's a documentary person. So he's just kind of interested in the issue.
You don't think that he's working for her?
No, I don't think so. So come along, let's find some more folks. Would you like a flyer?
Okay. Oh, I actually signed the
petition.
Yeah.
This woman, Janet Blazer, just threatened me with arrest if I didn't leave within 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
Isn't that interesting?
That's not right.
Right. She is right there, right behind that. Hey, how are you? Did you get a flyer? Threatened with arrest for flyering in the farmer's market.
Huh.
This just 5 minutes, 2 minutes ago.
I hope it doesn't happen.
I hope it doesn't happen too.
Yeah. That's not what we're here for, is harassment. You know, it needs to be friendly air.
I agree.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. Well, you want to hang with me as a witness, or you got something else you're doing?
I actually was on my way out.
Okay.
I'm on you right now.
I know.
Huh. I don't see what grounds that would be on.
The manager of the farmer's market is calling the police because I'm distributing petitions. Manager of the farmer's market is calling the police because I'm distributing this petition here. Check it out. Is it worth going to jail for? I don't know. Blair? All right.
Who is the manager?
The manager of the farmer's market is Janet Blazer, and she is usually at that table, but she's walking around. There she is. She's right there. So you might tell her about you're either supporting her or perhaps criticizing her in that regard. One of
that's definitely more on the criticizing
on the
side.
I can appreciate
it. Oh, yeah.
That.
Yeah, what do you have here? Let me see this.
Check it out. It's a petition for a friendlier farmer's market. Right.
Definitely.
All right.
Great.
Would you like a flyer for a friendlier farmer's market? Arrested for circulating this petition. I'm about to be arrested by police for circulating a petition in the farmer's market. Also trying to register voters here. Wonder if they'll arrest me for that as well. Sir, are you registered to vote? If not, I can register you here if you're interested.
I don't live here.
Are you in California or?
California.
Okay. Would you like to register to vote, or have you been registered to vote?
I'm not sure where I'm registered. I am registered somewhere. Okay. I think I'm in Davenport,
though. Here's the registration form. I'll register you here if you want. You know when you were where you were last registered?
I think in Davenport.
Okay. Deal with this situation here. What is your first name?
J.
J. Your middle name?
Barish. I'm middle Martin.
Martin. And your last name?
Barish.
How do you spell that?
B-A-R-U-S-H.
U-S-H. And what is your address?
1901.
1901.
Kilbreath. K-I-L.
K-I-L.
B-R-E.
B-R-E.
T-H.
T-H.
Drive.
Drive.
Bodfish.
One more time?
Bodfish. B-O-D.
That's a...
City.
City. Okay. Bodfish.
California.
California.
93205.
93205. Okay. Actually, okay. This is Santa Cruz County. Now, what county are you in?
Kern County.
Kern County. Okay, so what we need to do is, let me walk you down this way a little bit. Are you walking this way, or? Okay. It is about 5:40. I'm also dealing with the fact the police are about to arrive and arrest me for registering voters in the farmer's market and giving out literature. All right, so you're in Kern County. Yeah, this is a Santa Cruz County form, I'm realizing, so I really can't register you unless you are intending to make your residence here. Are you? No, you're not. Okay, and your name is?
Jay Barish.
Jay Barish. And would you like to give me your phone number so that I can call upon you as a witness to... I was trying to register.
Sure.
Okay, hang on. Okay, we have Officer Headley has arrived.
Robert.
Thank you for signing my petition. Officer Headley?
Were you asked to leave by the manager here?
Have you asked me to leave?
Yes.
Now, you have a place where I can petition, by the way, inside the farmer's market?
You can't petition inside with this petition, Robert.
And why is that?
Do I have to have this conversation with you?
No. Robert, you've been asked to leave. She's the manager. Would you please leave?
Okay. My understanding of the law, the Pruneyard case, is that this is open to the public, and if it's open to the public, it can't be done. Legitimate constitutional activities like petitioning are, in fact, authorized.
Robert?
Is that your understanding as a police officer?
I'm not familiar with the...
I'll show you the code section.
I haven't talked to you about it. You've been asked to leave.
This is private property while we lease it. Okay, so right now, between 1 and 7...
By our muni code, you need to leave, Robert.
I actually have a copy of the code involved. Right here. Now, last time I was...
Robert, can we have this conversation out on the sidewalk, please?
I believe it's my right to be here. That's the reason that I'm interested in continuing this conversation here. I'm not trying to be, surly with you or anything.
Robert,
yeah.
Let me simplify this and talk over here.
Well, the last time I did that, Sergeant Baker put me in handcuffs and took me away in a squad car. So I think I'd rather be in a public place where I can be seen by everyone. Here is the law, I understand, what you're going to be charging me with. Is that correct?
I'm talking about our municipal code here for...
Oh, municipal code.
Refusing to leave after being asked to leave.
This is a public area. This is, even though it's leased, it is a public, accessible to the public. That's my understanding.
122-170.
Well, then you'll be right in court, I guess. I think I'm right, Janet. Yeah. Okay, I'm being arrested for circulating a petition in the farmer's market, folks. Would you like to sign my petition before I go?
I'll catch you next week on that one.
Okay. I've got to get some more petitions here.
What is the petition about anyhow?
The petition is about a friendlier farmer's market, strangely enough, about stopping this kind of thing. This is the manager of the farmer's market, Janet Blazer. She's the one who's authorizing my arrest. And she has initiated new policies that, for example, set up mesh around the farmer's market.
In short,
it's essentially a petition that says, end the harassment, drummers, and hippies.
Oh, right, it's about to go on. Not right now.
Okay.
I have a right to do this, right? You're not going to kick me out for the petition.
I don't know. It's hard to tell what Janet's going
to
do next.
I might have
to
use your pen.
All right.
I'll read it at length.
All right. Yeah, thank you for asking. I appreciate that. Okay. So I want you to notice no traffic is being blocked here except by these two. I'm not trying to block traffic. So I'm going to go get...
I'll come after you in a second.
Okay. I don't know if I want to leave my email.
So, Sergeant, Officer Headley, I'm going to go get some more of these petitions. I'll be right around the corner. If you want to follow me, I'm sure I'm going to be... Yeah. I'm going to be... Yeah.
I don't want to cite you. I just want you to respect the wishes of the manager.
No, I understand that I'll be going to get some petitions, and whether I stay or go will depend on what goes on over there. I mean, I'm not sure what that decision has to be made when I reach that point. But I'm not trying to cause you trouble. I don't want, you understand this. I prefer to be able to petition as I always have. She's making these decisions, so I'm going to get some more flyers. What's your name, sir?
Michael. Yeah. I don't want to be on the tape.
Okay. Well, now. So I'm walking along the sidewalk back to my table to get some more petitions, having been... I ran out of petitions. I didn't get driven out by police. I want that made perfectly clear to everyone in the vicinity. They said you're going to get cited or arrested if, you don't leave. But I ran out of petitions. I mean, I ran out of flyers.
Anything,
no, I'm petitioning. That's all I'm doing.
Okay, so you've been threatened with a citation if you stay inside the open market.
It is true. I just threatened with a citation.
Because I live in the forest.
It doesn't matter. This isn't the farmer's market. She has to provide a place inside the market to petition if she wants to close it.
You can't petition the market inside the market.
No, she's wrong about that. Believe me. We just checked the court cases at noon. You can. For example, Safeway, if you go in front of a Safeway, that's private property. But you can be in front of a Safeway with a petition, even if it's leased to Safeway. They can't kick you out.
Okay.
So...
Maybe it wasn't a race.
Let us stand here. I don't know why.
Well, you're not Farmer's Market. This is public property.
That.
No.
Yeah.
Someone who needed a sleeping bag.
Even if it was Farmer's Market, you still have a right to be there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm probably going to go back and do it. I just need someone to take my car because I'm going to be going to jail probably at this point.
Well, don't keep your car there for a bad record.
Make sure that
I got to watch out for that. So we're talking to an apparent. Go ahead. A photojournalist is saying...
Well, I'm just asking about an incident that happened before the bodyguard where did you at any time confront Janet?
I absolutely confronted her, but I did not threaten her. There's a difference between confronting about a real issue and threatening. A threat is something where there's violence intended. A confrontation is actually addressing a real issue. The real issue that happened was that three of my friends got a ticket for sitting there with a drum while a woman, a sister, was singing very sweetly and beautifully, and they got a citizen's arrest. So I confronted her about it, and I asked her, why don't you step forward and communicate with these people rather than being a coward and just having a citizen's arrest and telling the cop to come over and arrest these people? So that is a difference between a threat and arrest. Any kind of violent action. And I just went up to her and I said, is there something that you need to talk to me about? If there is, let me know.
At any time, did you threaten her with violence?
Absolutely not. I have never threatened anybody in my life with violence.
Did you yell and scream at her, or were you speaking in a conversational tone?
I told her in this tone that I was furious that she had gave a citizen's arrest and without stepping forward and communicating to those people, and those people had done nothing wrong.
No time.
I told her that we were not going to stand for any kind of oppression in this market, and we were sick and tired of it.
Good. What was the response you got?
She was flustered, and she had nothing to say.
I think her response was to get a bodyguard at the next...
Bodyguard.
Right, and announce that there was a crisis at the farmer's market. Yeah, that was her... So tell us about this documentary you're making.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. I could probably do a better job because I know it's starting.
When is it likely to appear?
Within the next couple of months, pending. I was going to stop shooting, but now with this events that have occurred, even though it wasn't the original intent of the documentary to be involved with this, since it's these things have been happening right in the middle of my filming, I feel a responsibility to cover these events and include them in the documentary.
Thank you. Film is about...
The film is really about the farmers, small farmers, organic farmers, and people gathering to have good things to eat, and just basically a community gathering place.
Okay.
And basically the place of the farmers market in the community of Santa Cruz.
And we're talking to?
This is Bill Park, independent filmmaker in Santa Cruz.
Thanks, Bill. So we're talking to Chaim Levin. Hi, Chaim.
How are you, Robert?
I just arrived. It's about 5 after 6.
Well, actually, I was here earlier. I was here about 2 o'clock, and
was out there when our favorite young lady who runs this place,
Janet Blazer,
Janet came out and gave a few words to the musicians, asking them to leave because the they were disturbing the business at hand.
Now, where was this conversation?
The conversation was just, you know, where they hang out by the two trees over there in the parking
lot.
This
wasn't on the farmer's market. It was next to the farmer, on public property.
No, actually, it was on public property. And basically, her complaint was that the drumming is disturbing the farmer's market,
right.
Also disturbing Planned Parenthood. They've complained,
right.
And also the businesses in that building there.
Were they drumming when she approached?
No, there was no music at all.
She was doing a preemptive strike.
It seemed like she was trying to intimidate them. And
Janet Blazer attempt to intimidate people?
It seemed like she was. It seemed like.
See you later.
It seemed that she was trying to intimidate them to leave, and she said that there were complaints from all her. And so I asked her, well, why did they come to you? She says, well, because I'm, you know, the representative of the farmers market.
Right.
And then she said that what the musicians need to do is to go through the same process that she did to get a permit to go to City Hall and go through the paperwork and so forth, and then. You know, and do it properly, and then to get a permit to play music.
Right.
And they just looked at her, and I frankly looked at her like she was just totally out of her mind, and didn't make much sense at all. And when I asked her, I said, well, it seemed to me like the last couple of weeks out here, the weather's been really bad, and people have been coming out. She said, well, that's not true. You haven't been here in July and August. I said, well, actually, I have. I've been here since April, and everything has been fine. And nobody really cares except you. And then she marched away. She said, you're not being reasonable. And then she marched off.
I see. So, but when she initially approached, there was no music going on.
There was no music at all.
How many people were gathered?
Well, there was one fellow with a drum who had already been given a ticket. And
Several weeks before.
And maybe a couple other people and myself. So maybe four or five at the maximum. And maybe, you know, a couple of people just passing by. But that was all.
Well, thank you, Chaim. Anything you want to add?
I think the whole thing is getting really stupid, and you know what? If this is the worst problem that we have to face in Santa Cruz, we're in good shape.
Terrorists, take note. It's about 6:15. Officers Sadler.
Seedler.
Sorry, Officer Seedler. And Officer...
Quayler.
I'm sorry, Officer Quayler.
It's okay.
I'm a little nearsighted, and I'm forgetful. You know how it is.
Just want to make sure you guys are staying on the sidewalk, right?
Well, I haven't made a decision as to what I'm going to do at any particular moment because I believe this is public property. Even though it's privately leased, it's open to the public. And under the Pruneyard decision, unless she provides a place for people to set up tables, she can't discriminate against petitioners. It's illegal for her to do that. Now, if she tries to use you guys to do that, I think you're being improperly used, but, you know, you'll do what you have to do. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I mean, at the moment, I'm in public property.
Okay.
I'm not trying to get you guys called out, you know.
I understand that. I don't want to be called out.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem if you stay on the sidewalk. We won't have any problems. Right?
I don't have any problems at all. Janet Blazer is creating the problems.
Hopefully she won't call. You stay on the sidewalk.
I don't know what she's going to do. You know, but
I'm going to go try and talk to her, okay?
Thank you. Yeah, explain to her that the Pruneyard decision says, you know, areas open to the public are open to the public. So, thank you. Police officers at the farmer's market, folks. This is the new regime here in Santa Cruz. Check it out. Do you circulate a petition? They get to call the police on you here at the farmer's market. Would you like to sign my petition?
Better get on the sidewalk or you'll get arrested. Everybody get on the sidewalk or you'll get arrested.
Police at the farmer's market. Petition is for a friendlier farmer's market. So that the mesh gets removed and that people can again set up small tables along the side. So that police are not called under these circumstances, so that musicians and drummers who are drumming quietly are not harassed. And people are making excessive noise, I can appreciate that.
Well, one thing that I keep thinking about is that...
Sure. No, hold this for a minute. I'm talking. Where's the
chair?
I haven't arrested me yet, but the police have called a second time, and this may be considered arrestable.
I'm begging your pardon. You're saying?
Okay. Well, I work...
I'm going to have to kind of do two or three things at once.
Well, I work at the stand right here.
Yeah. And now, is it okay if I talk to you? I'm not coercing you into coming over, right?
You're
talking to me voluntarily.
Yeah, I'm talking to you voluntarily.
What's your name?
Amber.
And Amber, what's the name of your stand?
Route 1.
Your Route 1.
From one thing that I have talked to farmers about is that is that they really found that their sales are actually higher when there's these things here.
That's what I thought.
No, when the mesh is here.
Well, the mesh actually helps the farmers.
I think it really helps the farmers. And one thing, I think it's just because, I mean, I don't know if you, like, if you go shopping whenever you're at a store and there's tons of people everywhere blocking, like, in front of the store everywhere, it deters other customers from coming and buying things. And so I don't think it's necessarily that people are, like, prejudiced against the people, the specific people that are here. It's that one aspect of it is that when you see tons of people all around one area and like in the entrance and things like that, it kind of stops other people from coming and supporting the farmers, because what this really is farmers survive off of this. They're small farmers, they're small organic farmers, they need to survive.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it for a few months, yeah.
Because I'm trying to get a grip on whether a year ago business was better or worse. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Well, maybe you should talk to farmers about that.
And I have been trying to, but they arrest me every time I walk on the property, so it's a kind of a hard deal.
Well,
that's not true. I'm being threatened. Well, what am I supposed to do? Smoke signals, waving at a distance?
To a farmer without yelling things while you're doing it.
No. I don't yell things. I wasn't yelling things when she came up and threatened to arrest me. Mm-hmm. It's after she makes her threats to arrest that I inform the community what she's doing. Mm-hmm. I don't walk through the market shouting.
Maybe you should just try to talk to people one-on-one and see what
I'm doing with you.
And like, right.
This is what I was doing in the farmer's market.
Not me necessarily, like the farmers, and like actually look at their sales, because if you really want to support these farmers, you'll do what is best for their sales, right?
Well, that part of it is that, and part of it is this is a community event. In other words, this is sort of a place where people gather, and I think that it contributes. Now, you're suggesting perhaps it doesn't, but my understanding is it contributes to the farmer's market.
It does in a sense, but I don't think that people need to be right here. You know what I mean? Like, couldn't they be a little farther away?
Well, now, as a vendor, you would prefer that?
I would.
Well, I appreciate your candor.
I mean, like, this area, like, we have flowers all around here, and, like, it's just nice to have an open space, and, like, it feels really crazy when there's people playing music right next to us. We can't hear the customers.
I don't want to give my phone number. I'll keep the piece of paper.
Thank you.
Put my name on there.
But, you know, it's nice to hear the drums that are, like, a little farther away. It's like, a nice rhythm, you know? But if they're right in my ear, I can't do business very well.
And, again, your name is?
Amber.
Amber, I appreciate this, and we'll be playing this on free radio tomorrow night. I'll give you the card if you can listen in. All right. Looks like you've had a good day at the farmer's market. All right. I'm about to risk an arrest by buying an apple at the farmer's market, folks. This could be a very serious moment. Are you willing to sell me something?
I think the market's closed.
Are you inviting me to buy something? All right. I'm entering the farmer's market to buy some produce. What do you got? I want to buy an apple. All right. No, I want an apple. This is a questionable apple here. All right, so how much is this apple?
I gotta
wait. It is $6.28 as I try to buy an apple over here. It's the most ridiculous thing. 50 cents?
Are these, like, really great? They're really great.
This could be a $400 apple.
Good.
I won't. Yes. 50 cents. I'm buying an apple from
Amber.
And you invited me to buy this apple.
Route 1.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right.
I could buy something.
All right, so that's why you're here. You didn't want the
set of keys.
All right.
We're selling it because we grow it. And it takes a lot to grow produce and sell it here.
There you have it.
Pay for this space. A lot of money per month.
And you should be entitled to have as many customers as want to buy those apples.
We have tons of customers.
All right.
Tons.
Excellent.
It's very busy right now.
And that was the year that was. Well, sounds like there's a little more here as well.
So we have several officers, and here's the market manager here, apparently trying to swear out a complaint. Not clear what's going on. However, the farmer's market is now over. It is 6:30, and if this space is declared private, I'm a monkey's uncle. Have you signed the petition for a better farmer's market?
I have not.
Police officers here to enforce laws against petitioners. Would you like to take a look at this petition?
Please
Is this a friendlier farmer's market? Not the way it's being run. Let's get together with the vendors and find some new management here, folks. Flyer? Would you like a flyer?
Well, I got one.
This is a new one.
Another one?
It's another one.
And it keeps on going round and round.
Well, it's, you know, more events happen. So we have several officers, and here's the market manager here, apparently trying to swear out a complaint. Not clear what's going on. However, the farmer's market is now over. It is 6:30, and if this space is declared private, I am a monkey's uncle. Have you signed the petition for a better farmer's market?
I have not.
No, I need you to talk to me here, unless you're making an arrest.
Basically, we are, so you need to come over.
You're making an arrest? Hang on, let me give my...
Robert,
my...
No, come over here. You don't have an officer.
I'm being arrested, folks. Okay. Arrested for petitioning in the farmer's market.
Now, we can talk about this right here.
Yeah.
Okay, let me get my recorder going on, too. Right. We can talk about it here. Basically, we're going to be issued a citation for trespassing, failure to leave, on a established property.
And when did this event happen, supposedly?
Today. So you made a citizen's arrest on you. Mm-hmm. You've got a couple options here.
Okay.
You can be issued a citation and released with a court date promising to appear.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If you don't leave the property, then you will be rearrested and taken to county jail.
This is no longer private property at 6:30. You know
that. No, actually it goes until 7:30. That's what the conditions are.
7:30?
Yes, they have cleanup from 6:30 to 7:30. Okay. So, that's what the permit, so. So, do you want to make a decision about this, Robert, or do you want to go down to the station and we'll talk
about it? Do you have a copy of the permit with you?
No. No, I'm telling you that's what it is.
And you've seen it? Because
that's
last week I was informed it was 6:30. I don't know what you
That's when the farmer's market in. They have the permit up till 7:30.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, I'm being issued a citation for trespass, folks, which is meaning circulating a petition in the farmer's market. The complaining person is the manager who's not here right now.
Okay.
I'll sign the citation.
Okay. And let me just talk to you a little bit here.
Sure.
Are you going to leave the property?
Am I on the property?
Are you going to leave the property? If you go back on the property between now and 6:30 and 7:30, high probability that you will be physically arrested and taken to jail, with likelihood to continue.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I just want to get it to the point
I want to ask you one question. Actually, I want to ask you two questions.
Okay.
First question is, did Janet Blazer offer any place on the property for me to be able to petition or circulate a petition?
That doesn't pertain to this.
She didn't, as far as you know.
That didn't pertain. I didn't ask.
Okay. Secondly, did she tell you that she was doing this to all petitioners, or is she just selecting me in this matter?
She's making a private person's arrest on you.
Right. So in other words, she this isn't a matter of petitioners. It's just a matter of did you say why she was doing it?
Person's arrest because you're interfering with the business.
And which business specifically was I interfering with?
Occurring here at the farmer's market.
Did you give it?
Okay.
That's for discrimination.
Okay. No, that's not against the law.
Discrimination against the law.
Mr. Norris, do you have your ID?
No.
Yeah, I do.
For discrimination.
Somebody hold this.
It's not against the law, discriminating.
No.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. So
that's the reason we need a petition. I'm getting out my ID.
You guys should come over to me.
Don't leave. Don't leave. All right. So we have here is an arrest, not a custodial arrest, but a citation.
Okay, what I need you to do, Robert, since you are blocking the sidewalk and stuff, we need to move off the property or away, or we'll just take it down to the station where we can issue a citation easier that way. So these folks have an option too, okay?
Well, why don't we move over here?
That would be a good idea.
Okay. Don't leave, folks. Just don't block the sidewalk. Just
don't block the sidewalk.
Stay around. Arrested for circulating a petition in the farmer's market. Here we go. Sorry. All right, so we've moved over, so we're not blocking the farmer's market. It looks like we're leaving some access here on the sidewalk. And the issue is, should a person be allowed to circulate a petition in the farmer's market if Janet Blazer doesn't want them to?
Apparently not.
And apparently the answer is the police officers will enforce Janet Blazer's will and opinion on this matter, regardless of the fact that this is a public space. Yes, sir. And I would say that under the Pruneyard decision, if you make this kind of a citation, there's a question here, because this is open to the public, even though it's privately leased. It's like a Safeway parking lot. Safeway cannot bar union organizers. They cannot bar people with petitions. They can regulate time, place, and manner, but they can't bar that. Therefore, when you enforce her private dictate on the trespass, I believe you're going a step too far here.
That's That's something for you to work on, Robert.
Yeah, I guess so. Arrests for circulating a petition at the farmer's market, folks. America or Afghanistan? Where are we?
In Afghanistan, you would have been shot.
Well, it depends on the petition.
That's right. If you're in favor of the Taliban, you would have been made a hero.
I hope you have better things to do, frankly.
Robert, this is what we're doing right now.
I noticed, yes.
And it took three officers to be able to do this.
Three officers.
You are a
terror. Three police officers for circulating a petition at the farmer's market, folks. Apologize for shouting.
Would you like your apple back?
The treat for later.
Mr. Norris?
Yes, sir.
We see you sign right here in the red box.
Sure.
Not a mission to kill with all these, a promise to appear.
Let me check this out. Okie doke. I'm looking over the citation. It's P634306. Misdemeanor case. Is it 015? Is that Armenia?
01S
10361. 632, Wednesday. Issued Robert Norris Khan. The crime 602.1 PC, trespassing with intent to interfere with a business, Cedar at Lincoln. Janet Blazer is the arresting officer. You don't
arresting
look
party.
Like arresting party. Arresting gotcha. Party. Gotcha. Okay.
We're just the officer.
And the officer is
Officer Siebel.
Officer Siebel. Okie doke. Let me sign this. More public dollars at work. Three police officers to arrest someone for petitioning in the farmer's market. So we have a point here being made by photojournalist Becky Johnson, not video journalist today, that the Santa Cruz Community Farmers Market sign here says Wednesdays 2:30 to 6:30 year-round, and then underneath it, in purple, it says please no parking 1 p.m. to 7 p.m., and then there's a sign next to it that says, a blue sign says free public parking, 3-hour limit, Monday through Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Use the parking lot at your own risk, says the white sign underneath it. City of Santa Cruz will not be responsible for any damages occurring out of the use of this parking lot. Under that is a blue van accessible, wheelchair accessible sign. And finally, the sign at the bottom, all these signs on one pole, public parking prohibited. This is in red. Wednesdays, 1 p.m. to 7:30 for farmers market. Tow away. Unauthorized vehicles will be towed at owner's expense per section 22658 CVC. Santa Cruz Police Department, 429-37.
And that was the arrest that was. They were never taken to court. Charges were never filed. They were dropped. Janet Blazer was dropped as director of the farmers market. And I continue to circulate petitions. But the farmers market, the drum circle next to the farmers market, survived for another 6 or 7 years. Actually, I think in 2009 it was run off, maybe 2008. And there was spirited defense even at that time. Let's have a little music, and then we're going to hear from Anthony Prince in a conversation about organizing for the second Poor People's Campaign, or I should say for the pickup of the Poor People's Campaign that was abandoned after the assassination of Martin Luther King, or soon after that assassination, way back in 1968.
This is a song about a very militant social movement that had its golden age in the beginning of the 17th century. Come all you sailors near and far, you honest men know who you are. All of you who dare be free, combine with us upon the sea. Together we will drink a toast, ride the wind on down the coast, see the merchant shipped aboard, raise a jar and swing a sword, watch to see the merchant captain crying when they see the black flag flying. The war with Spain is over now, no more Jack over the bow. We fight for no one but our class. We're gonna kick some captain's ass. all you who've lived before you die. Come give an honest life a try. Sail beneath the skull and bones. Pay no heed to crowns and thrones. No more greedy princes lying. When you come sail with a black flag flying. No more whips and no more chains. To live free or die is what remains. If life is too short either way, you might as well live free today. All for one and one for all, we'll board the ship and make the call. Join us, all you good men, and have your liberty again. Watch the crew now leave their captain frying as they come sail with the black flag flying. Robert's brave and true, and Mary Kelly's gallant crew. Seems to me the world is ours. Watch as the mighty navy cowers. We have no nation but the sea, no creed but that we will live free. Loot and burn all that we can, that's run by a dishonest man. Their end is near, there is no denying. When they see the black flag flying, I could predict the future, then I would. But all I know is this is good. 1720 is the year. There is nothing left to fear. We may live or we may die. Perhaps our destiny is nigh. I don't know what the end may hold, but I know these ships are filled with gold that was stolen from the poor as we lay dying. So let us sail with a black flag flying.
And now that was David Rovick's Black Flag Flying, in case you were wondering, with some videos, compliments of Pirates of the Caribbean, if you want to check out the YouTube visual accompaniment. You've been listening to Bathrop Spears Broadsides. We're going to end it with a long interview with Anthony Prince, who is an attorney who has also got a foot in the activist camp, as you will soon hear from the passion in his voice. He's helping to organize the Poor People's Movement, and I'll be back again on Sunday, presumably, probably with a flashback, but who knows? Never can tell what happens between now and Sunday. And, isn't Sunday... Yeah, it's the 24th of December. We'll see what happens. Thanks for being with me. If you have any comments or criticisms, if you want to be a part of Free Radio or want to help with civil rights for the homeless, give me a call at 831-423-4833.